Wolves live in California in the wild. Saying that is still taking some getting used to because wolves were gone from California for the better part of a century. As far as anyone knows, the last wild wolf was shot in Lassen County in 1924. Then OR7, alpha male in Oregon's rogue pack, wandered over the state line on his search for a mate just a few years ago. More wolves followed, apparently to stay. California wildlife workers began assembling a wolf management plan a couple of years ago, and it is now complete. Let's hear about process and highlights from Karen Kovacs, who is the wildlife program manager for the Northern Region, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the principal author of the plan. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to have you here. As wildlife managers, did you go quickly from, yay, wolves are back, to, oh, boy?
Oh, yes. It clearly was a combination of both of those kind of emotions, recognizing that wolves carry a lot of baggage with them. They're highly controversial. They tend to polarize our publics. And we knew we were going to be in for quite a bit of work.
And it has proven to be the case, I imagine.
Yes. We started our planning effort actually before OR7 entered California back in December of 2011, looking at how wolves were expanding in the West after the reintroductions by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in the mid-1990s. We kind of anticipated it. We didn't expect it to occur so quickly.
So let's explain that again, because the story is always fascinating to me. I mean, wolves were not introduced into either California or Oregon, for that matter. Where were they introduced, and how have they gotten this far?
Well, as I indicated, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which has the federal authority since the species was listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act, they initiated an effort and actually completed a reintroduction in two locations in 1995, started in 1995. One was to reintroduce a population in Yellowstone National Park and another location in central Idaho. So if the wolves that are coming in and expanding to the west are in large part a result of those reintroduction efforts, just a little over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And so here we are talking about wolves in California. What do you know at this moment about how many wolves and roughly where?
Well, we know of two animals in Lassen County. Their current whereabouts, however, it's always a mystery to us what happens during the winter. We're very, very new into the game of wolves into the state. Relative to the Shasta Pack, which we confirmed in California, were a pack, not a pack, but we had a pair that produced five offspring. We know they're not in the location where they likely denned, but of course it looks very different today than it did when those animals came into California. We were in the midst of a drought, had very little snowfall when the pups were produced. Right now we've got snow in those areas, and as to the actual whereabouts of the Shasta pack, we don't really know.
Hmm. From the experience of other states, have any idea how fast the populations can grow from just a pack or two?
Well, one of the really incredible things about this particular species, it's incredibly resilient. It has a high reproductive rate. If you look at some of the rate of increase in some of those states, I mean, it's as high as 30% annually. Not to say that that's in every location, but they're incredibly adaptable. They're habitat generalists. As long as there's adequate food, water, cover, these animals seem to do really, really well. And they can inhabit, as I said, a variety of different habitat types. They're not restricted to forests. They can occur in more arid conditions. But again, you know, the factors of food, water, and shelter, and of course humans on the landscape, will affect that.
They seem almost as adaptable as coyotes, which are actually living in some cities now. And in fact, listed within this report is the knowledge that wolves and coyotes can mate successfully.
Well, there's no evidence that we have any crosses between wild coyotes and wolves in the West. If you look in the historical record, particularly in the Northeast, there's some evidence that does suggest that historically wolves and coyotes did cross. Probably as a result of few wolves and more coyotes, But we don't have any evidence that suggests that that's occurred in the West to date.
All right, we're talking to Karen Kovacs at the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, where she's the Wildlife Program Manager for the Northern Region and the principal author of the California Wolf Management Plan. So a lot to talk about here about wolves. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How much, Karen, did the experience of other states help the formation of this management plan, and how much of it was just, well, this is California, we have to do it our own way?
Well, a little bit of both. Clearly, we wanted to learn from the experiences of our counterparts in the western states. We didn't want to have to be reinventing the wheel. And they had already experienced the highs and lows of having wolves occupy those other states. So we learned a lot from the management plans or the conservation plans from what was produced in those other states. We took from that, and while we created the conservation plan here in California, there's a lot of information that we gleaned from Washington, from Oregon, and from other western states. So we didn't have to start from zero.
There were lots of chances for people to have input to the plan. How far and wide did you go getting input, and did you get at least as much as you expected?
Much and more. We started off originally with reaching out to some stakeholders in the state of California when we were thinking about initiating a planning effort. So we started off with 22 different interest groups to help give us guidance and direction, express their concerns, and that gave us a focus of what those elements to include in the conservation plan for California. We kept the stakeholder working group as part of the planning process. And these were interests that represented the environmental community, conservation community, hunting community, the agricultural community. It included some agricultural experts. It included some scientific expertise. So we tried to get a representative of large constituencies that could bring their concerns to us so that we could better understand, again, how to craft and orchestrate the conservation plan. From that, we developed a draft plan. Again, we used our stakeholder working group to provide input on that. We finalized an early draft. It went out for peer review. We selected a number of representatives that composed our peer review panel, based in part on suggestions from our stakeholder working group members and also folks that we felt were important to give us their expertise about knowledge of California habitats, particularly knowledge of our ungulate populations, that would be deer, elk, in California. Once we received that input, we incorporated some changes in the plan. It went out as a final draft for public review. You recall that there was a public review process in California earlier this year. We had three public meetings throughout the state, one in Yreka, which is Northern California, sort of central, was Sacramento, and then in the southern part of the state out of Long Beach. We received a wealth of comments from our public. We looked for any new information, again, to update the plan. Based on that public input, we finalized the plan, and that's the final version that was produced this month, and it's available on the department's website for review.
In two different PDFs, I noticed, but quite easily read. The process, then, was it somewhat easier to go through this before there were really wolves getting noticed much in California? Was it easier to talk about without already having wolves attack sheep or things like that?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. When we, back in mid-2011, were thinking about this, our idea was, is how do we get ahead of the game? How can we be more proactive? Because typically in situations like this, the department is put in a position of being reactive. We wanted to get a head start on it so that we had things in place that when and if wolves came to California, we would be more ready than if we did nothing. And so we started that process early on. And I do think that we've been able to have some productive conversations with not only interested publics, but those publics who will be directly affected. But that's an ongoing conversation. And while we are starting to get wolves, we anticipate there will be more. And, you know, it's a conversation that will continue to be controversial. We've got very polarized groups that, you know, whether you're a pro-wolf or anti-wolf advocate, I don't really anticipate, this is me personally, I don't anticipate that those beliefs are going to necessarily change. I do think, however, the department is in a much better position to respond to the concerns when we have, as you say, a livestock injury or depredation as a result of wolves than if we had done nothing.
Karen Kovacs, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the principal author of the new California Wolf Conservation Plan out just this month. You can join us to talk about wolves in California, or in Oregon for that matter, at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. What's the floor here? What's the status of state and federal protections for gray wolves in California at this moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. Currently, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service still has wolves in California listed as federally endangered under the Federal Endangered Species Act. While the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did go through the process of delisting gray wolves in the lower 48, they have yet to make a decision on whether they will move forward with that delisting or that the current status will remain. Under the state level, our Fish and Game Commission was petitioned by some interest groups to list gray wolves in California as state endangered, and our commission took that action to list them under the California Endangered Species Act.
All right, so endangered at both levels then?
Yes.
All right. I noticed among the concerns here, and we talked about this a bit already, is wolf and livestock right up at the top of the list. There were some interesting things said about the terrain in Northern California, specifically in Siskiyou County, that you thought might be something that would be a bit of a buffer between wolves and livestock.
I don't exactly know the point that you're making.
The Klamath Mountains, I think, something about the steepness and the foresting in the Klamath Mountains would give the animals a good places to hide, so they wouldn't be coming after livestock or something along those lines.
Well, again, wolves being highly mobile, highly adaptable, the issue really is going to be, is there enough suitable habitat out there where they have a lower likelihood to come into contact with livestock? And then, more importantly, what are some of the tools that not only the department but livestock producers could have available to help minimize those kinds of conflicts? Wolves, as you indicated, don't like steep terrain. Again, it's think about where you have deer and elk in this state, and that's what we consider to be their principal prey in California. And so the more inhospitable to those species, the less likelihood that wolves will likely occupy those areas and thrive. So it's really about a species that can be, you know, just about anywhere in remote wildlands of California, both public and private land. But how do we minimize the potential conflict of interactions between wolves and livestock?
And should those come, are there mechanisms in place for reparation payments to farmers or allowing them to shoot the wolves under certain circumstances? What's the layout there?
So you bring up two things. One is about lethal take of wolves, and the other one has to do with compensation to livestock producers. Here in California, unlike many other Western states, we don't have a mechanism to compensate livestock producers for any wildlife losses, including wolves. It would take a change in statute to offer that as a remedy when confirmed livestock depredation by wolves has occurred. The other element that you mentioned, which, God, that just escaped me at the moment.
We mentioned take and we mentioned reparations, yeah.
Yeah, so currently under the California Endangered Species Act, you cannot take a wolf for livestock depredation. We don't have a mechanism for that. There are some non-lethal techniques available to producers, you know, air horns, things that make loud noises, lights, different livestock management techniques to minimize exposure. Is it foolproof? No. Will it work 100% of the time? Probably not. But there are some things that producers can do. I mean, one of the other things that we looked at is removing carcass piles, bone piles. In some locations throughout California, actually throughout the West, it's been traditional to sort of dispose of livestock that have died in one location. Wolves are attracted to those locations, and so if there's a way to remove those bone piles, those carcass piles, that's one other remedy. Again, it's really trying to minimize risk to those livestock producers from wolves affecting their livestock.
Karen, there are references in the plan to the carrying capacity of wolves in California. You're making some guesses, it appears, about what the density might be. What are you looking at there?
So the thing we have to remember is that we don't have a frame of reference for wolves in California, and we say that throughout the plan, that many of the models that we use, the assumptions that we make, are not based on what is known in California, but based on wolf populations in other states and elsewhere. So that's the large caveat we have to say. But using some of those models, some of those formulas, we've put some general concepts of what it could be for California, but by no means is this definitive. We say repeatedly throughout the plan that once we start to gather more information, we'll be better able to anticipate or predict what kind of wolf numbers, wolf populations could be in California.
Interesting times ahead for certain, and we're just now at stage one, essentially, with California actually having a completed wolf conservation plan. Karen Kovacs is the Wildlife Program Manager for the Northern Region of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the principal author of the plan. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome.
All right, take it easy.